Well, thanks a lot for letting me worship with you today, and thank you, too, for making my ministry possible. Institutional Ministries, this year we're celebrating 115 years of being able to go into places like hospitals and nursing homes and jails and prisons with help, with the support and the encouragement of a whole lot of very generous individuals and a coalition of congregations. Calvary is part of this coalition. You and about 200 other congregations have sent my staff and all of our volunteers into these places, places where people are far from home, somewhere they would rather not be, someplace where hope is in very short supply. And with your help, we get to go into people, some of whom have lost a connection with any Christian community or never had one to begin with, and we get to let them know how loved they are. So I thank you for that, making this possible. So does my staff, and so does all my volunteers, and all of my guys in jail orange and prison green and hospital gowns. From all of them, thank you. Thank you, people of Calvary, so much. And thanks for letting me worship with you today and celebrate these 115 years. I'd like to, for our meditation, look at the gospel reading that we had before. I'm going to read just a few verses from that, from Matthew 25. Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." And let's pray for the Holy Spirit's blessing in our meditation. Lord God, Holy Spirit, you've come into our world. You've come into our homes, into our lives, and you've come right into our hearts. Lord, you're transforming us from people who live in judgment to people who receive and give love. We're praying in our sweet Savior Jesus' name that you continue that transformation in us and help us be part of your work of transformation in this world, bringing love into this world that needs it so very desperately. We're praying for this in Jesus' name. Amen. When Advent starts, there's always a question: How do you view this? It's about the Lord's coming to this world, and well, do you look at His first coming and God preparing His people for that, or when He comes back again, preparing His people for that? And the answer is yes, you do it all. And there's another focus we could look at too, and it's one that I want to look at with you. It's the fact that our God is already here. He came to our world and He told us, "I'm not going anywhere. I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And no matter where you go and no matter who you talk to, our Lord is saying, I got there ahead of you. Come on, let's do this together." Something I get to see in my ministry all the time, and it's always a fresh surprise and a fresh joy when I find that out. Our God gets there ahead of us. Whenever we go someplace, Jesus said, "You're visiting me here." I was at a prison that I do a Bible class at a while back, and I was visiting with a man there who was getting close to his release date, and he'd asked if he and I could get together and discuss some things. We did, and I was having a wonderful time talking with this man. I just loved his sense of humor. I loved his insights. I loved the way he was so open to what God wanted to do in his life. And about halfway through the conversation, he stopped and he gave me a big grin and he said, "Do you ever think that if you weren't involved in prison ministry, that a white suburban church boy like you would ever get to be friends with a ghetto thug like me?" And I thought, well, seems unlikely, doesn't it? I'm sure glad it happened. And then I got to thinking some more. And yeah, being in a specialized ministry like I'm in, sure, it helps. It helps a lot. But still, crossing that gap, that seemingly huge gap between white suburban church boy and ghetto thug, that isn't really something that is unique to me or the people in my ministry. This is something that every one of us who are part of God's kingdom of grace, it's what we do. It's what happens all the time. You picture this story that Jesus told about the king and the people on the right, and picture all of them realizing, whoa, this is it. I'm on the king's right. I'm there. I've arrived. And after that sunk in a little, you can kind of picture them looking around and saying, I'm here, and so is he, and him, and that guy. This is kind of surprising. This big, strange collection of people, like what the king describes here, those who are sick, those who are poor, had nothing to wear, those prisoners, all gathered together, one family. There's barrier lines between the people that are gathered on the king's right. There are lines that most of the world thinks are really big and really important. The lines between the right people and the wrong people. Lines between the acceptable people and the unacceptable people. Most of the world sees these lines and they see them very, very clearly. And here's our Lord saying, I don't see those lines. I'm looking at people I love. I'm looking at people my son Jesus died for. And I am saying, I'm there with those people, and I want you to be too. That's what our Lord is constantly reminding us of here and throughout the Bible. He's crossing all barrier lines, and he's saying, you will too. And that's what we do, all of us. Our Lord has crossed barrier lines, and wherever I go to, wherever you go to, he's there. First of all, with his pronouncement that everyone on both sides of that barrier, they're accepted by me. They're loved by me. They're forgiven by me. I know that no matter who I talk to. I never want to put this on myself, and I hope you don't put this on yourself, this thinking that I have to do something to make sure that those people become acceptable to God, that they step across the line and come into the side where people are now okay for God. Instead, I remind myself all the time, and I remind the people I minister to until they're sick of hearing it, of the Phil Merton rule number 6 for sane living, which goes, being accepted by God is not your goal. Being accepted by God is your starting point. I don't have to encourage anybody. In fact, I want to make sure they're not thinking that, oh, if I do one more thing, if I join the right church, if I say the right words, if I become sincerely repentant enough, maybe then I'll be acceptable to God. Instead, I can talk about like what Paul the Apostle talked about in 2 Corinthians 5, where he said, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. I don't have to tell anybody that if you join the right church, if you become sincere enough, if you become religious enough, then God will accept you. Here's God saying, I'm already looking at somebody my son died for, and my son did a good job. I am okay with you. I want you to believe that. I want you to be okay with my love. And that's the job I get to do, to go into places where people are already forgiven and accepted by God, and I get to tell them about that and help them to believe that. And when I do that, when I'm involved in that job, I know I'm not alone because Jesus got there ahead of me. True for all of us, no matter where you go, no matter who you talk to, Jesus is saying, I'm already here. I got there ahead of you. Come on, let's get busy. Now, who are the people that God is with? Conventional religious wisdom would look at that question and say, well, he's with good people. He's with religious people. He's with well-behaved people. That's where you'll find God. In that Psalm verse we heard before, it was from Psalm 34. It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. So here's our God saying, I'm looking around and I'm seeing people who are hurting, people who are scared, people who are lonely, people who are ashamed, people who are broken down and hopeless. That's where my heart is. That's where I am. That's where you're going to find me. And come on, if you want to be with me, join me there with these crushed people. He's already there. Whenever we go to be with people that are hurting, he's got there ahead of us. And I think it's so enjoyable to find that out, to discover, whoa, he meant it. There are many times when I'm in, say, Bible classes at prison, and somebody will bring up an issue there that is going on in his life, something that's troubling him, and I realize, uh-oh, I'm out of my depth here. This is not my world, and this is not the kind of situation I deal with. I don't know what to say. And then I sit back and watch as all the guys around him pipe up and start bringing such words of care and wisdom that I'm just awed. The Holy Spirit's here. God is here. God is loving this troubled prisoner through the other prisoners. He got there ahead of me. And he is loving them by bringing other people into their lives, other people wearing prison green in this case. No matter where you go, no matter who you talk to, God got there ahead of us. God crosses all these barrier lines with his love. And because we're part of God's kingdom of grace, we're crossing those barrier lines too. And sometimes we're not even really recognizing it, just like the people in the story Jesus told. He told all those people on his right, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And they're going, what? When did that happen? I don't remember that. You talking to me? They didn't quite get what was going on, and there's probably a couple of reasons for that. One, I'm thinking they just didn't realize Jesus is really here. He's not just up in heaven somewhere. He's here, and we're together in this. But the other thing I'm thinking is that I don't think they realized the significance of what they were doing. And I think that's true for all of us. Sometimes we're just doing what we do and not realizing how extremely important it is. When somebody is crying and you go over and you hug that person, when somebody tells you how absolutely worthless they're feeling and you encourage them, no, you are of infinite worth to God. When somebody is lonely and you're just there with them, when we do those things, well, just like these people on the right were thinking, that's just what I do. Not that big a deal. Except that here's the king saying, I was there, and it was a big deal. Sometimes we do those things, and it just seems to come naturally. It's supernatural. It's the Holy Spirit in us, but it seems to come naturally. And then there are all those times where it doesn't seem to come naturally at all. When the people we're called on to love and care for are people that annoy us, people that make us mad, people that scare us, people we feel threatened by, what then? Well, here's our Savior still saying, I'm over there loving those people. They need love. Come on, let's do this together. And we do. And amazing things happen. Several years ago, I was doing a Bible study at Milwaukee County Jail. And it being Milwaukee County and there being this huge racial inequality in the criminal justice system, most of the guys in this study were black, a few were Latino, and one or two white guys. A white inmate came in a little late. He was just so thrilled to be in this Bible study. He jumped right in, joined in, was just so happy to contribute and hear from everybody else. At the end, we prayed, and you don't pray like this. You pray by grabbing a hand and joining in a circle. And that white guy who came in late grabbed a black hand, grabbed a brown hand, and prayed with us. He stayed afterward to talk to me about some things, and that's when I noticed the tattoos, swastikas, Aryan nation symbols, white supremacy stuff all over his arms. And he saw me looking, and he got all embarrassed, and he said, "Ah, that was a different life." Now, the first thing I thought of was, isn't this cool that God brought this man out of this narrow, hateful little world into this big, broad world of love where all kinds of brothers and sisters are there for him? And then I thought of something much later. I noticed those swastikas after a while. But you can bet that every black man and every Latino man in that group saw those swastikas right away. They recognized immediately, this guy is coming from a group that hates people like me. This guy is coming from a group that is a threat to people like me. They saw those, and their response to this man was, "Welcome. So glad we're getting together in the presence of God." The king said here, "I was a stranger and you invited me in." Now that didn't just mean I'm somebody you hadn't met yet. There's a much stronger word than that in the Greek. I was different from you. I was an alien. And you brought me right into your midst to share your fellowship and love and encouragement. That's what we do. And boy, that goes against all conventional wisdom. It goes even against our nature. Normally, when you look for your community, you look for people who are like you, people who look like you, people who go to the church you go to, people who talk like you, people who vote like you, people who listen to the music you listen to. That's what we normally do. And here's our God saying, "I'm calling you to move beyond that, calling you to move across those lines to people who are very, very different from you, who you feel uncomfortable with. I love those people. We're going to love them together, same as I have loved you." Let's pray about this. Lord, you have come into our world, and it's so different from your kingdom of heaven. This world is so full of pain and hatred and greed and judgment. And yet you came here and said, "This is my world now." Thank you for doing that, Lord God. Thank you for never leaving us. We're praying, Lord, that since you've come into our world, since you've come into our lives, that you help us to help everybody else in the world realize how loved they are. Realize your gracious presence. We're praying for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.